Well, you know what they say about this this Sunday in the church after Christmas? They call it Low Sunday. And I was talking to Bruce earlier. I said, when they say Low Sunday, does that mean attendance, or does that mean all your money is gone from having bought everything, or does that mean low emotionally? Probably all of those things put together. And but you know, the scriptures call us to be faithful. I was looking over here at our praise team. We had two musicians over here, and but they're here. They're leading us in song, and then our praise team. They're here, and you're here. So God has brought us here for a reason this morning. And I think throughout the Christian faith, and whatever we do, the main thing is to be faithful day in and day out. You know, we get up in the morning and we want to just pull the cover back over our heads and say, I don't want to face the day. You ever had one of those days? Or sometimes you don't want to go by and see someone, or you know you got to do it, but you don't want to. But the main thing is to be faithful. Do what God leads us to do. And so I'm reading this morning from Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with verse 13. You know, we read some information. We read the first part of this Christmas Eve. And this passage reminds us that the journey, that our trip, wherever we go, and our travels, our Christian travels through life, is not always easy. It's not. It wasn't easy for the wise men. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It wasn't easy for all those people there in Bethlehem. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine, became flesh, it stirred up some things. You know, it stirred up some things big time. And we begin to see just a little bit of that in this particular passage of Scripture. And, in a lot of churches, we call this Holy Family Sunday, and it's great to see the families here. You're with one another. I can't think of a more appropriate Sunday to be in God's house than on this we call Holy Family Sunday, because it centers around family. And so let's hear the flight into Egypt. So we begin at verse 13 in Matthew 2. Now when they had departed, he's talking about the wise men, of course. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. See, right away. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Awful stuff. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. If you remember that story from Jeremiah, all the sons and daughters have been taken into exile. They've been taken prisoner by warring armies. And so it doesn't matter how you lose your child or how that it affects the parent, affects the mom especially. This is something totally different. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was Herod the Great, Herod Antipas's brother, they were brothers, they were all sons of Herod the Great. And one of them ruled Judah, the other one ruled Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. So how many, there are three different places in this scripture where we hear the prophecy, the Old Testament prophets, prophecy are being fulfilled. You see, God's, we cannot deny God's word. God's word has instruction. God's word has wisdom. God's word reaches into the future. And sometimes we don't believe it. You know, we think about Old Testament prophecy. But God's word, no matter where or how, it is going to be what God wants to be accomplished, will be accomplished in your life, in my life. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks again for this word that you have given us. We pray that as the seeds are sown, Lord, that the seeds will fall upon good ground in our hearts, in our souls, and in those with whom we come in contact with and preach and teach the gospel, so that your will might be accomplished. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably heard this little story, but I think it applies to what we're getting ready to say here. A Sunday school teacher asked her class why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. And this is a small Sunday school class. And a small child replied, they couldn't get a babysitter. Some of you remind me. And that story, this story reminds us, everywhere Mary and Joseph go, you know, Jesus was with them. And, you know, the wise men, now they have set out on a search. We know that from the few scriptures before this. Many years before, they had been in tune. They'd been in tune to what God was calling them to do. They had a life goal, a purpose, or at least a temporary life goal and purpose. And they had been sensitive to what God was doing through the power of his Spirit upon this earth. And they had a message in the star. And so God called them to go out and follow that star. Now, I wonder, the scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot. I wonder what was going through their minds as they were trying to think about, well, how is this going to go? What do we need to make this journey? What's it going to be like when we get there? All those questions that we all ask ourselves whenever there is transition going on in our lives, whether it's a short trip or a long trip. And, you know, they did not have the modern ways of direction that we have today. They studied the stars. The scriptures tell us that. So they knew what those stars meant. You know, yesterday, I was, it's great how God gives us something every now and then, but yesterday I was watching a show on TV in the afternoon, and this guy had lost his iPhone. Well, the iPhones, and I don't know about the phones before that, but the new iPhones have a Find Me app on it. And so this guy didn't know where his phone went, so he went to his iPhone, and he hit the app that says Find Me. Okay, and so he began to, the guy that had taken his phone, the signal was still on, and he said for, you know, a few hours or a day or so, the phone just stayed in one place. Then all of a sudden, he realized that phone was going up and down a little bit of the coast there in California. So he knew somebody had his iPhone, and so he and a friend went in search of that iPhone. They knew exactly where the guy was going. He would move up the coast and move down the coast. Sometimes he would go pretty fast. Sometimes he would go pretty slow. And so they couldn't figure out if he was in a car or what. Come to find out, this guy was on a bicycle going up and down the beach there along the coast of in some of the areas there. And so they jumped in their car. I forget how far they had to go. And then they traveled. You know, they went to find this guy. And so they drove up and down. They finally saw a guy on a bicycle, and they knew that he had the phone going up and down. So they finally got a chance to confront the guy. You know, they found who they were looking for. And then they got in this fist fight because the guy didn't want to give up his phone. They had called the police. And finally, though, he got his phone back. Man, things have come a long way since the wise men set out on their search party to find what God had in store for them. And, you know, there are consequences for them finding the baby Jesus. There's consequences for them being in God's will and searching out God's purpose. They probably didn't think about it. They probably had no idea when they started out on the journey. So here they go. The scriptures tell us they come to Jerusalem looking for this king. And Herod hears about it, and he calls them in, and he says, "Hey, you know, I want to know where this king is too." But he had ulterior motives. You ever do something with an ulterior motive? Sometimes we do it in ministry, don't we? Sometimes we do it in church. We're in it because of what we can get out of it, what I can get out of it, not because of what God is seeking to do through you and me. And so Herod had heard about this baby Jesus, and the wise man had come through town. He calls him up, and the scriptures say secretly. And you know, a lot of times, many times, sin is done in secret, isn't it? Because we know inside that what we're doing is not right. We know that decisions we're about to make or whatever we're about to do, we know that inside our conscience tells us that something is not quite right. So instead of being honest about it, we think that by, you know, working behind the scenes and trying to manipulate things, that it'll work out for our best. And that's what Herod was trying to do. And so he asked the wise men, he says, "When you go, and you come back by and let me know where he is so I can go worship him." Why do you come to worship sometimes? How do you worship God sometimes? When do you worship God? What motivates you or me to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What's our motivation? Because we're afraid of what other people say, my family say. What motivates us? That's a question every one of us need to ask ourselves. What really motivates us deep down to come and worship, to come to the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And then the next question we need to ask is, what can we bring? What do we bring to that? What do we bring to that time to put at the feet of Jesus Christ, at the cross of Jesus Christ? What do we bring? I'm amazed at this story of the wise men. You know, they come all this way, and we feel like Jesus is probably 2, maybe 3 years old. And they have brought their gifts. They have hung on to their gifts for 3 years, 2 to 3 years, this gold and this frankincense and myrrh. And they've had to protect it. And they've had to not spend it if they got in a jam, you know. Didn't have the credit cards then, so. And you know how tempting it is, right, when you got it right in front of you. And you say, well, you know, I'll get more later. But how committed they had to be with this treasure that they were bringing to put at Jesus' feet. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of treasures do we hang on to? What kind of stuff that we hang on to and we are afraid, or I'm afraid, to put it in front of Jesus? Because we know if we put it in front of Jesus, he's going to do more with it than we can. I'm not talking about money. That's part of it. But what kind of treasure do you have on the inside? What kind of heart? What kind of, you know, God has given each one of us treasures to bring to Him. And so as we begin to, as we start a new year, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. I'm surprised Herod didn't take the treasures away from the wise men. Surely he knew they had them. But he had an ulterior motive. Hey, we'll just follow them. We'll see where the trail leads. Of course, apparently he did. He could have, but he didn't. He was trusting the wise men to tell them where Jesus was. But just as the angel of the Lord and the messenger of God had been in this whole thing from beginning to end, we are told that the messenger of God came to the wise men and said, hey, don't go back there. You ever had that still small voice in you say, don't do that? You don't want to go there. Maybe you've had somebody else tell you that, like your parent. You don't want to go there. It's a message. You know, it's a word from God guiding them. And that's what the Word of God does. It guides us. It teaches us. It takes us to places that on your own you would never, never, ever dream about or ever dream what that experience would be like. That's what he did for the wise men. He brought them from way over in the east. He brings them through this whole chain of events, through probably a perilous journey, and brings them to the feet of the Christ child. That is wonderful. You see what God does when we let him lead our lives instead of us trying to lead it ourselves? And how he directs. Why he calls upon his heavenly army to teach us and to guide us, to show us the way. It can't get any better than that, can it? But see, Herod wanted to take matters into his own hands. And as I said, Herod had the power. And Herod wanted to keep that power. See, that his treasure was the power and all the things that come with it, the authority and all those things that come with it. But he wanted to keep it all for himself. You go and you tell me where this Jesus is. And so we realize that Herod, in trying to keep his kingdom together, in trying to make sure that his sons would be the next king, you know, the legacy. Legacy is important, isn't it? You know about legacy. We all do. You got it in your wills. Son or daughter get this, somebody get that. It's all there, right? So we can't fuss with Herod too much because we're all there. We're all there. We want our children to have the best, have it better than we do. And so he had this kingdom. And this king, Jesus, was a threat to that kingdom. And he wasn't going to have it. He was going to take care of it, and he had the power to do so. There was no law that could keep him from it. He was the law. At least for a little while. And if you read about Herod the Great, we're told great stories about, you know, having people put to death and a member of the family. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. But he was selfish. And he was trying to deceive the wise men. But God was on to it. The Holy Spirit was on to it, just like it's on to you and me when we tried to deceive God. And when we just tried to deceive others, God was on to it. And he intervened, just like he intervened in the world to bring his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He intervenes. That's what God does when we're doing what he calls us to do. He intervenes in a divine way. Isn't that awesome? In a divine way. Man, that's powerful. Herod lied to the wise men. He tried to deceive them, and he lied to them. And then when things didn't go his way, guess what? He got mad. You've never been there, have you? You never been there when things didn't go your way. You didn't ever get mad, did you? Nah, y'all would, because y'all, you're committed Christians. We're all committed. But we're still we're still sinners. We can't get on to Herod too much. Things didn't go his way. And so Herod sought another way to solve the problem. Herod was only interested in what was taking place for his own benefit. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we begin to do things, even in the church or wherever, for our own benefit, we're barking up the wrong tree. Because things didn't go his way, he got so angry and so furious that he took matters into his own hands. And he made a decree to destroy any potential person that would threaten the throne, hoping that in the process of doing that, Jesus would be eliminated. Now, some scholars have looked at this, and they go back and they think, you know, based on that time in Jerusalem, based on the population, they figure, and the mortality rate, they figure it was probably about 20 or so children that were put to death. Because one man, one king, wanted things his way. All brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us find ourselves in the position of a Herod. And because so many times we think our self-worth is based on our sense of who we are, is based on what we have and how much power we have and what position we hold. And when someone threatens that, we look within and we think we're inferior. There's some things from John Maxwell. Herod was very insecure. Even as a king who had everything, he was insecure on the inside. And that just goes to show you, I mean, the only way that we can be secure on the inside is when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is at the center of our lives. Herod didn't have a sense of purpose. He didn't have a sense of belonging. And all those things make us feel insecure. He didn't have a sense of being competent in what he did. And all of us go through these feelings of inadequacy, these feelings of being alone, these feelings of being inferior, these feelings of being insecure. Every one of us go through these kinds of things in our lives today. And how do we deal with that before it destroys us or destroys our families or destroys, our marriages or destroys our relationship with our children? How do we handle that? First thing we have to do is, just like the wise men, we have to be sensitive and we have to be in tune to how God is influencing our lives. They were studying the prophets. They were studying the Word of God, listening. And it's God that gave them a purpose. They didn't come up with that purpose themselves. God gave it to them. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we go through life thinking, I have no purpose. I have no this. I have no this. But we forget that God is the one that gives us our real purpose in life. our real hope? It comes from Him. And when it comes from Him, all powerful and wonderful things can happen if we're obedient to it. I like what Maxwell says. He says, our personal worth and security must come from our secret history with God. I like that. Secret history with God. Don't you like that? Secret history with God. Nobody else knows. No one needs to know. You're not doing it so that you can be the spiritual preacher. I'm not doing it so I can be the spiritual preacher. I'm not doing it so I can be the lay person in front of everybody. I'm doing it because I want to be with God. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. It's what the wise men were doing. And then God showed them what to do and God directed them. And then the third thing is we should never, never put our emotional health in the hands of another person. That's what Herod did. I like what Maxwell says here. We should never put our emotional needs in the hand of another person. Because we do, guess what? They're going to disappoint you. And Herod was emotional. He was furious. He was upset. How can anybody challenge me and challenge my throne? All he was thinking about was himself. And then the last thing we must remember is, you know, when we expect other people to meet our needs, we're going to be disappointed. And not God. When we expect other people to meet our needs, we're going to be disappointed. Joseph and Mary looked to God to fulfill their needs. The wise men looked to God to fulfill their needs. And you know, the wise men didn't go back to Herod. And I've often thought about this. Do you suppose they knew what would happen if they didn't go back and see Herod? They knew Jesus would be killed, but do you suppose they knew what the fallout of that would be? And if they had, would it have changed their minds? No, because they were listening to God's Spirit and God's messenger in their lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we begin the new year, think about, pray about your secret history with God and how you can develop that over the next few months or years. Think about God's purpose for your life. Not your purpose for your life, but what God's purpose is for you. Whether you're young or old. Think about who do you depend on to meet your needs? Who do you depend on to meet your needs? Think about that. And where does God come in there? Where's the Holy Spirit come in there? Where does Jesus come in there? In God's eyes, we are worth a lot more than we could ever know or believe. That's why He sent Jesus into the world. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank You again for the opportunity You give us to worship You this morning. Lord, we're all sinners, just like Herod. We all want our own way. We all expect people to do what we want, so that we might be satisfied, so that we might be fulfilled, so that we might have what we think we need. We all have treasures that we hold on to, afraid, fearful, to bring them before Your feet. And all of us feel inferior at one time or another, because our self-worth is so based on what's outside and not what's on the inside. God, help us as the church, as believers, to give those things to You this day and always, so that we might be the wise people that You call us to be In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.